Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. It's James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I'm back with my good friend, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Good morning, James. Great to see you.
Yep, good to see you. Good to see you. Another week in the exciting channel. Lots of stuff going on, lots of stuff to talk about. But I guess first and foremost, I guess the big news last week was Cloudflare went down. I guess they were down for a couple, you know, 2-3 hours, and looked like they had some kind of outage due to a problem with a third-party service. So what did you notice anything on your side or hear anything from your clients?
I did not notice, you know, which I think is good news. Yeah. Because, you know, last time that Cloudflare had an outage, and maybe the last several times, because they did have some big ones there, kind of a string.
Yep.
Took a lot of businesses just out. And this time they had an outage, but businesses didn't seem to completely go under. A few did, but, you know, at least it was short-lived and it didn't seem to have a dramatic effect on most businesses. Things sort of were able to keep rolling.
Yeah. It didn't affect me at all. My day went on as normal. Lots of Zoom meetings, lots of phone conversations. I didn't really hear about it until after the fact. And one of the only big names that caught my eye was Spotify. So, you know, if you're listening to Spotify during work hours and you couldn't listen to your favorite song, too bad, you know, but other than that.
Not a major crisis, a slight inconvenience, right?
Yeah. But interesting though. So that made the big news. And so hey, let me jump over to the MSP question of the week. This is an interesting one. We talk a lot about this, kind of dance around it, but it was positioned different. The question came in, it said, how can you stand out and provide value in a low cost world? So they were hinting, you know, there's increased competition. Prices per seat for managed service providers is kind of becoming more commoditized. Prices are going down. People are double checking contracts because the times are tight in the economic climate. And but how do you really stand out and provide value in that kind of situation? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, word from my peer group people is that the sales cycle is stretching out. It's not the quick sale it was for a number of years. And so what's happening is that businesses aren't really sure that the high prices per seat are necessarily of value to them. Mm. You know, I think they're questioning that now. So we may have reached some sort of peak or at least a serious plateau. And we're seeing, you know, some pushback. And so what my folks are telling me is, you know, how can I compete? How can I get myself out of that comparison to other MSPs? And the solution is really to, you know, something you and I talk about a lot.
Yeah.
You hear, you know, rhetorically all the time, your unique selling proposition. But what you really do need to talk about in these sales situations today is what makes you different than the other MSP so that you cannot be directly compared.
Yeah.
You know, the market out there is saying, and we think this is a commodity and we think it's awfully expensive for a commodity. You know, the MSPs are not looking different to us. We interview three of them. We just get to pick whichever one is cheapest because, you know, they're all telling us about their remote support, their great help desk, and, you know, how they're going to secure the environment. It's what everybody comes in and tells us. So why wouldn't we just pick the cheapest one? So, you know, the solution here is find something else to talk about. You know, I used to do that in with my MSP all the time in sales. You know, if they wanted to start to talk about, you know, help desk and things, say, look, you know, my people are good. Your response time is fast. We get things done. You know, we never charge you for learning on the job. But what I really want to hear about is what's going on in your business that you think you need to hire somebody like me.
Yeah.
Right. And sort of just change that conversation around, right? Yeah. You know?
It's a really important point you just said right there. It's, you know, change it from a technical conversation to a business conversation. Yeah. And Amy, that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, make it about their business, not about the technology. Understand what their 3 to 5 year business goals are, how they plan to expand, what they're looking at doing. And then say, I'm going to put a technology plan to support that 3 to 5 year plan. You know, let's work together and educate the customer what they need to do and educate them on the new technologies. We talk a lot about AI, you know, educate them on that. Windows 10 end of life, you know, the features of Windows 11. I mean, we keep bringing that up, but a lot of clients don't understand why they need to upgrade, you know, prospects, you know, educate them. Yeah. I think that's a great differentiator for sure.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I would definitely talk about is AI. Every business out there is worried that they're going to get left behind in AI. So, you know, talk to them about what your strategy is, what you can bring to the table to help them utilize it better, more securely, you know, get those productivity gains, you know, figure out which ones are good to use, which ones are bad to use. You know, that's a concern they have. The first thing that they might tell you is, yeah, you know, these guys come in, they don't really listen to us. They just come in and do whatever they think is important, but they don't talk to us. I hear that a lot.
Right.
And you also, you know, we also unfortunately still hear bad response time, but I wouldn't focus on what they're saying there because that's part of the commodity story. Like, that's an easy fix. We can take care of that. You won't have that problem with our firm. End of story. let me hear about what else is going on. What are they not listening to you about? Right. That's technique. That's how you change that conversation.
Yeah. And it's challenging. I mean, I know there, all of us have certain clients that we know we provide exceptional value to, right? Head and shoulders value. But there's some other ones that we really, they're just kind of easy clients. They're not very squeaky. There's hardly any problems and they don't want to meet with you. So it's hard to show and demonstrate that value unless you have FaceTime with them. What, one of the other interesting ideas that I know we've talked about before is if it is a pricing game, you know, I've seen some smart MSPs actually peel out the tools from their cost. Like Microsoft 365, for example, and
get
customer's credit card, sign them up with Microsoft directly and just say, these are tool costs that you're going to need anyway. My monthly fee is just for our labor. And it's a creative way of kind of lowering your per seat cost. So when they are comparing apples and apples, it's really apples and oranges, but a perceived value is your kind of a low cost leader, but you could still do all the same things, but it's just kind of packaging it very differently. So I don't know if I'm wild about that, but I think that's a creative idea too, if you are in a pricing one.
Yeah, I think so. I would, you know, I've been hearing about some new entrants into the market, right? There's always new people coming in and they're coming in with the idea that, you know, they're going to install their RMM, they're going to install their Huntress and, you know, some of the other common tools that everybody's using today. So they're going to install help desk and monitoring and endpoint management and security tools. And they're going to price that as their MSP package, mm-hmm. but the labor's all a la carte. And that's an interesting way to get your price down. However, it runs the risk of you having to ask permission all the time to be able to do things that you know that the business needs. Now, in my MSP, I did kind of an in-between thing where we priced in all the tools, and then we also priced in the labor that we knew we would need minimally that month, right? So if it was an ordinary month, this is what the labor costs were going to be, and we just priced that in as the recurring part of the recurring fee, yeah. Right? And then if there was anything out of the ordinary going on, we didn't call it a project, but you could maybe think of it that way. If there was anything out of the ordinary going on, we then billed hourly for that additional stuff. So that helped keep our, that did help keep our entrance price lower than the top end, but we were never the lowest company coming in. Mm. So, you know, it depends where you want to be in the market. If you're looking for that low cost option, that's a way to go. I personally never wanted to be in a position of having to ask somebody if we can do something in their network that we knew needed to be done, right?
Yeah.
So I think I always thought of myself as just another department in the business. And right. You know, they go about their day and do their work, and they don't ask the boss for every single thing that they, you know, that they're able to do.
Certainly a better situation to be in, for sure. I agree. But that was a good question. So keep those questions coming in like that. Amy and I are happy to talk about those. Just send them to james@kernanconsulting.com, and we're happy to talk. And here's the irony here. Speaking of standing out from your competition, Southwest Airlines is back in the news. And I think this is really interesting. Yeah. We've seen all the news. They've been talking about it for a year. They've had a leadership change. And more changes are coming. So how do you feel about the changes coming? Do you think it's going to kind of push them into losing their uniqueness?
Yeah, I hate the changes. And, you know, I'm not in a big Southwest zone. I have flown Southwest, and it was always its own unique experience.
Yep.
You know, there isn't a first class, business class kind of thing. There's just seats on the plane and first come, first serve. So, you know, that A, B, and C people getting on board. And, you know, I just really thought it was a good program. You know, one of their things was they never charged for bags.
Yeah.
You know, and they were a highly efficient company with where they chose to fly and, you know, making sure that they always had a full plane. I feel like they're losing all of that. You know, this new management's coming in and saying, yeah, guess what? We're charging for bags. Oh, we're going to get rid of that first come, first serve thing. We're going to let you reserve seats now. So just another airline, which, yeah, you know,
I agree. I don't like them losing their uniqueness. Now, I will tell you, years ago, you're going to laugh at this. Do you remember the old Southwest airplanes that had the seats facing each other right up in the very front? There was a row facing, and then there was another row facing that. And
oh, really? Like you're on a train.
You're like on a train. And it was the most awkward, you know, the only fun trip would be if you're flying to Las Vegas and you have a beer in your hand and you're with a bunch of friends and you're all sitting in one group. But most of the time, if you're a business traveler like we are, and you're flying from point A to point B, you don't want to be staring at someone's face. It was the most awkward seats. Most all of them have been retrofitted and pulled out, but I think that's a positive change. But I don't like the changes they're doing now. I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, it's related to what we were just talking about, right? Here's Southwest tearing down their unique value proposition.
Yeah. They're good. And just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else, because the pricing is not dramatically different.
Yeah.
Right? But the experience was different. You know, they were creative with their announcements. I even had somebody once sing the safety announcements.
Yeah.
You know, they were very creative with it, which made you pay more attention, was probably actually added to safety.
Yep.
You know, they they would bring your snacks around in a basket and just let you, you know, pick out what you wanted. It was just little things like that. It just made it a different experience. And, you know, I just think it's always a bad idea to let your unique value proposition go.
I completely agree. And probably 90% of my flights the last 5+ years have all been Southwest. I've flown Southwest for years. I'm in a big Southwest market and, you know, I've got the app. I know how everything works. I'm in the rewards program. So it's fun. And it seems like a lot of that stuff's just disappearing. So I'm happy about it as well.
Yeah. Sad. I'm in a Delta hub. So almost always end up flying Delta because you get, you know, 60 choices of Air Delta flights and, you know, one of each of the other airlines. Oh, how it works when you live in a hub city.
Yeah, I'll be doing more of that as well. So in the economy is in the news again. I mean, nothing really. I read through the report. I've read through multiple reports. There's some regional reports that I went through and some national reports. Just kind of talks about the overall growth, job growth, just kind of is stagnant or declining a little bit. You know, stock markets, kind of the markets are going up and down. It's kind of climbed back up from where it was depressed about a month ago. So that's good news. Unemployment, it just kind of flat. The overall GDP growth is kind of flat. So I think a lot of people are just going to kind of wait and see how these tariff negotiations all pan out and where this all ends. So I know that's all being discussed as we speak. So hopefully we'll get that stuff put behind us and then kind of maybe grow the second half of the year. But
yeah, I think the tariff chaos seems to be quieting down. And, you know, chaos is never good for business. And you certainly saw that reflected in the stock market. I haven't looked in the last couple of weeks, but we were slowly climbing back to where we were in January. Like January was the peak and it really hit a trough and it's been slowly bouncing, unfortunately, but bouncing up and down, up and down, up and down, and slowly making its way back up to where it was in January. Yeah. So, the more resolved that becomes, we'll actually see how businesses react and are able to figure out how to be profitable in the new economy. They are paying higher taxes. And so we haven't seen that reflected yet, but we will eventually. They're just sort of, like you said, everybody's just sort of holding on and treading water and waiting to see what the rules are actually going to be.
Yeah. So not much else really to report there. I mean, the thing Amy and I've always talked about is in a flat economy like we have, or turbulent economy that's volatile, just keep marketing yourself. Get out there, market yourself, stay top of mind with your customers, educate them, and stay in front of them, and you'll just grow right through this. So I think good marketing is the key for growth in 2025 for sure. So, and then, you know, speaking of good deals, there's Carl Polachek just dropped something up in the Small Biz Thoughts community, and he had kind of put together, there are 15 different MSP consultants that put together a bunch of freebies. So Amy and I were both part of that program last quarter, and that was a great program. Many of you took advantage of that. I'm going to drop the link up in the show notes so you all can check it out, but or you could find it on smallbizthoughts.com up in the community in the blog. He called it Summer Freebies, but there's over 15 consultants this time that are offering up to $8,200 of freebies, you know, no obligations, no strings attached. It's just free stuff and everybody loves good deals. I'm offering for a handful of select people free valuations. If anybody's interested in looking at a valuation, you know, it can help you with that. So that's one of my promos in limited supply up in the community. But you want to check that out for sure, because there's a good mixture of all sorts of things up there. So on smallbizthoughts.com in the community, and I'll drop the link in the show notes on the website.
Yeah, it's a really creative program, and I'm glad he's doing it. I participated the last couple. I'm not in this one, but we'll probably be back in the fall.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm glad to see some new people in there. I think that's a good development. So
yeah, a lot of new faces for sure. So all right. Well, I think that's about it for today. Anything else exciting that you want to share, Amy?
You know, my exciting thing out here that I'm dealing with is a woodchuck sort of came in and ate a lot of my garden, which makes me quite unhappy. So, you know, usually we talk about how things are going at the top of the hour, but I saved that bombshell for the bottom of the bottom of the podcast here. You know, I'm a big gardener, so I was a little devastated.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got something on the the east side of my house that is eating a lot of my hosta plants. And I haven't run into that before. I get the vegetables.
You have a deer? Deer like hosta.
Yeah, we have all sorts of things from, you know, seriously, from eagles to hawks, but fox, a lot of rabbits, squirrels. We do have some deer, but it's rare that they come up to the houses. I'll have to put a camera out there. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, do it. It's very interesting. You'll find out probably there's a lot more wildlife than you think. I have some cameras out, and you know, I sometimes post these things, and someone recently said, like, oh, I think you live in a much more rural area than I do. And I'm like, no, I don't live in a rural area. I am solidly in the suburban zone here in Metro Detroit, and we have deer and turkey and possum and raccoons and woodchucks and random cats, and the deer come right up to the door.
Yeah.
And so I've got a giant cage around my apple tree because of them. And,
wow.
You know, all is there's a lot of wildlife out there. So I would, there's owls, there's hawks, there's, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I am on the outskirts of town and in my city. So we have all sorts of wildlife, and I love it. I do have some cameras outside. I don't have any on that side of the house. So I'm going to have to, I'll rig something up. So.
All right. One more thing, James, before we wrap up. I hope you had a lovely Father's Day.
Oh, thank
you. We're recording this one day after Father's Day. So.
Yep. I still have a smile on my face. First of all, what an honor to be a father. You know, it's one of my greatest accomplishments and something I'm very, very proud of. I've raised two fine young men that are both married now and part of our community. So excited about that. Yeah. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's great. Great to have your day of recognition. So fun.
Absolutely.
Fun weekend.
Yeah. Good.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, Amy. Good to see you. Have a great week, and we'll see everybody back next week on the SMB Community Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.